Hey everybody, so just went to live, this Friday, May the 29th, and it's a Friday night, it's about 8:05 p.m. Got some stuff we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to let a few people pop in and I'll give some shout outs. See Moody's here, like Sean Cochran. What's up, brother? Cindy! Hey, I hope you and Tim are doing well. Sean, tell Amy I said hello. Hope y'all are watching. Got some good stuff to talk about tonight. I got on my Haunt t-shirt. Pay no attention to the double chins. I have more chins than a Chinese phone book. Okay. So, we got about six people. When we get about 10, we'll go ahead and start. I know I started a little bit late. What is happening, Tammy? What's happening, Reggie, my brother from another mother? So tonight's going to be fun. I got some new stories I want to talk about, and then I'll go into more depth with them tomorrow. Moody, can you let illustrious Sir Buddy know we are going live now? He just sent me a message. Let's see. She says, hi. David Goodley is watching. What's happening? Robert Madrano. So we've got seven people. I'm waiting on a couple more because I know I started a couple minutes late. I want to make sure everybody logs in before we start talking about the good stuff. Good stuff meaning ghost stuff, right? That's always good stuff. So it's Friday night. Get your popcorn. Get your special drinks. Get ready for some ghost stuff. Tomorrow we're going to talk a lot more in depth because Saturday nights, you know, is good stuff. Shannon Bell, what's happening, Shannon? What's happening, Brother Jimmy? Hope y'all both are doing well. So I'm glad Shannon popped up and I saw her. So last Saturday when we were coming back from our last live shot, Shannon and Jimmy gave us a call and told us some pretty cool ghost stories about up in Effingham. Was it Clio, Georgia. I had to ask Moody. So let's go ahead and get started. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about the Clio stuff. But tonight, since we got 11 people, got to throw some shout outs again real quick before we start. Let's just serve Buddy Grayson. What's happening? Hope you and Lady Laura's doing well. So Brother Doug, glad you could join us. So I want to give some shout outs. First, I got to give shout outs to my buddy, Chris Bragg, who's helping me with, put a lot of this stuff together. Once I do kind of the live stuff and everything, he downloads it and stuff and puts it into the podcast for Apple and all those places. So, Brag Out Loud, he's also got a show called Brag Out Loud where he does interviews and stuff like that, but nothing like horror related or stuff. He does more in-depth personal stuff, which we will be doing. So stay tuned for that. Also, I want to give a shout out to my buddy, Robert Madrano. And I hope I'm pronouncing this right. I believe it's Embroidery City. He has a embroidery shop now. He's doing embroidery. He has done some patches, some hats, and a shirt for me. I want to give him a shout out. Tomorrow we're going to meet up and he's going to hook me up with it and I will be sporting it. Let's see. Lester, sir, Buddy Grayson says, what? Yes, sir. Hope you all are well and Moody practicer Sasquatch roar. She's still practicing it. So hang in there. There's my cousin, Peter. Peter, what's happening? Peter, pumpkin eater. I had a wife and you know the rest. So let's get started. Again, Brother Robert Madrano, we're going to be giving away a couple hats, some patches, and taking care of that. Do what, babe?
Wicked South Productions shared the stream.
Hey, Wicked South Productions, I got to give a shout out. Wicked South Productions, they do the haunted corn maze up in Rincon. And if you've never been, you got to check it out. I mean, it's great. I'm hoping I can get together with those guys. Hey, Miko, what's going on? Wicked South is in the house, y'all. So, big props to them for what they're doing out there in Rincon. I mean, I think this is a fantastic idea that Wicked South has going on out there. They've got the corn maze. I love corn mazes. I mean, who don't, right? I mean, from Children of the Corn, Malachi, remember, we've talked about this. Pretty creepy. They do a whole big production out there, and they do it up, I mean, really, really good. So hopefully I get to talk to Amika and the rest of them there, and we can do a little live video out there one night and kind of give you a show of what's coming on and kind of how they got started and stuff, because that's what it's about. It's a haunt family, and we're all a family. Just us, you know, Ailey, you got the Moose Lodge, you've got, you know, all, everybody, and even the home haunts that are out there. Hey, man, unless you've actually tried to work a haunt and put one on, it's a lot of work. And I think some people don't realize how much work is actually involved in putting one on. And a lot of people do it for all kinds of reasons. They do it because they love it. They do it because they want to make money. They do it because they want to raise money. They do it because they love Halloween. Who don't, right? So let's move a little forward there. Again, if you want to get some embroidery done, some screen printing, shout out to Robert Madrano, who is on here. Robert, go ahead and post your number and everything if you want to, brother. Same thing with you, brother Amika. If you guys want to with the Wicked South, heck yeah, man, let's do it. So I want to talk a little bit. First thing I want to talk about is the Forsyth Mansion downtown Savannah. Now, I had a lot of people kind of send me personal messages and stuff because they want to share their experiences. They want to tell me things that have happened to them and around the city and our surrounding area. So basically, within the city, you know, everybody knows about the Marshall House. Everybody knows about the Pirate's House. Everybody knows about, you know, 1790 and all that stuff. And we'll touch base on it. Like I was telling Moody earlier, those are kind of fillers. Those are fillers for everybody so that whenever we're kind of got time that we're talking about more personal haunts and stuff like that, meaning supernatural things that have happened to either guest viewers or somebody in Savannah, then, you know, we'll talk about that stuff for those that are really interested and like it. Brother Robert Madrano says, 91 Deuce, 912 Apparel, doing business as Embroidery City. His phone number is 912-259-9505. Check him out. All right, so let's get started. Haunted Forest, that's the Moose Lodge. The hauntings that are going on at the Forsyth Mansion downtown. This is where Forsyth Park is downtown. And, you know, right across from there is where the mansion is, and it is gorgeous. If you've ever been in there, I mean, it's amazing. And people always talk about hauntings that go on there, and they don't know why. And, you know, a lot of the tourists that come out of town, and I know when I would go down there a lot, you know, and or people would come in for a drink at McDonald's or something, or some other Irish bar I was at, you know, me being a mix. So, you know, I like hitting those Irish bars. So they would talk about it, and they would say, hey, we're staying over at the mansion over on Forsyth there. And, man, there's some creepy stuff going on. And I overhear, so, you know, me, when somebody says ghost, I do this. So I told him, I said, you know that used to be a funeral home, right? And it was. It was a funeral home. I made a lot of notes because sometimes I kind of forget what I'm talking about when I'm talking because I get so excited about talking about ghosts. Let's see here. So let's come back to the haunted mansion, and I kind of skipped over. I'm glad I got my notes. I'm sorry, y'all. So let's talk about Rosedew Island. Rosedew Island, y'all know where that is, right? That's over in Savannah and everything. So somebody wrote in to me pretty much and said this, in the summer of 2001, she worked as a counselor on Rosedew Island. The other camp counselors thought it would be funny to scare the girls. Y'all don't know. Okay, so there used to be a Girl Scout camp over in Rosedew. I remember when I was a Boy Scout, we used to sneak away from camp, and we'd paddle over there and hang out with some of the girls, you know, and stuff, and just have fun. And it was always, you know, this big thing of you don't get caught, they'll shoot you with rock salt, you know. So we always thought it was fun. You know, we'd go over there and hang out with some of the girls and stuff. It was a big, like, Girl Scout camp. So she said that the other camp counselors thought it'd be funny to scare the girls by having her jump out on the trail during a night hike. And it just so happened that the trail that they wanted to walk the girls down was right through a part of the island where you could still see the trenches dug by Confederate troops. Rather than crouching down in the weeds for who knows how long, she decided that she would sit in the dark by one of the log cabins, waiting for the lights of the flashlights further down the woodland trail. She said it felt like she had waited there for hours. She said, but it was probably no more than an hour in total when it was that she saw a faint light coming up and through the secluded path. She said as she got closer to the woods out in the open area, she hid like she was supposed to, and the closer the light got, the more she realized something was amiss. She said, first of all, it was not a flashlight. So she's wanted me to stress that anybody thinks that this was a flashlight, that it wasn't a flashlight. So she says that what she looked like was a lamp. It looked more like a lamp, she said. And she's seen electric lamps, and it didn't look like an electric lamp. She says, the people got closer, it became apparent that those were absolutely not Girl Scouts. She said, even right after the event happened, she professed that they were dark male figures walking towards her. She said, I couldn't make any more out of them than that, but it was enough that she jumped out of the bushes and ran for her life back to the main building. She said she could hear people chasing her, and at one point she even fell down, which scared her half to death because she was at the edge of the field where she would be very visible in. So she said, in the moonlight, she felt like, you know, she would be real visible and everybody could see her, the Girl Scouts and everybody. But she said, gratefully, the field was not far from the main building. She said she got there shaking, scared at what she had seen. She said that they all decided that it must have been people who came by boat. Again, us Boy Scouts used to love rowing over there and messing with them. Sometimes we'd scare them, but most of the time we'd there just kind of hang out, you know. So she said that the main road onto the island, it had a gate on it that you can't pass through. And she's right. Again, you had to paddle over there if you wanted to steal the crabs caught in her traps. However, she never understood why grown men would have such an old-fashioned lamp rather than just using a little more efficient electric one that could be easily picked up from, like, Walmart or something. She said that she wondered if they were a group of fishermen who chased her down in an attempt to not being caught for stealing the crab traps out there. She said, but it wasn't. She said that it was a group of Confederate soldiers is what it looked like, and they were still ready and waiting to fight for whatever battle they were going into. She said when she calmed down, the counselors informed her that they had chosen to take a different path than the one that she was hiding on, and just assumed that she had walked back when they didn't show. She said they were not even on that part of the island that night, and no one was staying in those cabins that week. So she said they were actually starting to get a little bit worried when she wasn't coming back because she was out there alone with no flashlight. She said it was just one of the scariest and creepiest things. And then she said that the next morning she made up a story. I'm not going to give her name because she's a little embarrassed. She said that she made up a story that she wasn't feeling well and was sick and everything. And then she just never went back because she was so scared. But she said that her and another friend talk about that a lot, and it freaks them out. So a couple more shots out. Let's see. There's Cookie Moore. There's Robbie Moore. Dave Armstrong. What's up happening, everybody? Brother Jason. Brother Ray. So I'm glad y'all logged in, and I'm sorry if I'm going by my notes tonight, but I kind of wanted to give y'all some good stories, and I didn't want to screw anything up because I'm kind of doing it secondhand from what they're telling me. So if you have a ghost story that you'd like for me to tell, a personal experience, please let me know. Some of these here that I'm talking about, they just don't want to go on camera, which I'm cool with. And some of them are like, please don't use my name because they're scared somebody's going to make fun of them or something. And you know how that goes, so, you know, it's all cool. See, Carolyn's online. What's happening? So, my brother-in-law, David, is on. He says before he moved to Kentucky and was accepting a job there in 2006, he was supposed to work in the basement. Many scary stories they had there. That's the reason I didn't accept a position at Forsyth Mansion. Yeah, Forsyth Mansion. So, Forsyth Mansion, there's a lot of people that talk about ghosts and things there at the mansion. There's a lot of stories about the mansion. You know, it's kind of hard to talk about, especially, you know, with so many people that were in and kind of, I want to say in and out, but, you know, I think that used to be the old Fox and Weeks building. I'll look it up and check it out. So I'm talking a little bit different about stuff tonight. And, you know, Rose Dew was always kind of scary out there. It gets really, really dark. Girl Scout camp was on one side. We was on the other side, you know, Camp Strawn. Camp Strawn is where, you know, us Boy Scouts were. And, you know, we always had a lot of fun out there at Camp Strawn. I remember going out there for 2 years. It was scary, very, very scary. And of course, one of the things we love to do was tell ghost stories and scare ourselves. But I don't have any ghost stories about Camp Strawn. Now, one of the things I want to talk about, because some people say, you don't talk about this and you don't talk about that. You only talk about Savannah. So let's talk about Ella Belle. So I got a story about Ella Belle, Georgia. Somebody said that there's an old house behind a church on an old abandoned highway on 204. So anybody familiar with Ella Belle is watching. If y'all can confirm this, let me know. I'd love to check this out. So there's an old house behind a church on old abandoned on road on Highway 204. So the house has some serious evil. I asked, you know, what kind of evil? They said anyone that grew up in this area knows about it, which is why it surprises him that it's not on this site. There's just before you get there, there's a house with a graveyard with a huge oak tree. The rumor has it that the tree took many lives with reckless drivers going around the bend in the road too fast. The families would bury their loved ones right under the tree. I don't know how true that is. Just passing along because I want to do other cities as well. He said that the house, however, has its own evil. As soon as you get in front of the gate, the hair on the back of your neck will stand up. And it says it could be a warm summer night and it would... The hair on your neck would turn to ice. The house is very old, but at night the house is more than alive. The lights in the bedrooms flicker on and off. Footsteps can be heard, including moans and groans, barking from a dog that's not there. And there's also vehicles running up and down the old abandoned road with dim headlights. Pretty spooky stuff, I guess. The last thing that he told me was that this is by far, to him, the biggest haunt in Ella Belle. I know what you're thinking. Where the hell is Ella Belle? Had to say it. Ella Belle, Georgia is right past... No, it's right before you get to Pembroke. Yeah, right on 204. So, near good stuff there. Black Creek. Yeah, over by Black Creek. Let's see. So he says, once you get scared and you run, he said, everybody runs. He says that there's a church that... the cross is always upside down. Something evil pushes you away from the house, but he just doesn't go back there anymore. It's been a while. He just says it's very, very evil. I'm trying to get him to give me an address so I can go there and do a little live segment, and let's see how evil it is. All right, so not to be finished with Ella Belle. I got one more quick story about Ella Belle. So all you Ella Bellians or live around Ella Belle, let's see. There was a couple, and I've tried to research this the best I could, about bluebird ghosts. The bluebird ghosts in Ella Belle. So apparently there's a story about bluebird ghosts that's been around for many, many years. The person that was telling me the story said that his best friend and him at the time had spent a lot of boring days just walking around and looking, you know, just looking for something to do. They said they never really saw anything except for when they came upon these bluebird ghosts. He said that his dad says that Ella Belle used to be haunted by a flock of bluebirds. So they went out to try to find these bluebirds. He said for some strange reason, they do not haunt yearly. He said, but they can be seen after an ice storm if there has been a lot of tree damage done by it. He says that the ghostly bluebirds were probably caught up in an ice storm one time and froze to death. His daddy said that when he was a boy, he saw them one time, and he says that his uncle Oscar saw the bluebirds one time when they landed on the statue of an angel. Something funny he said here is that he said his dad said after that, my uncle Oscar was never right in the head anymore. So, good stuff, huh? So, let's talk a little bit. Let's give shout-outs to Jesse Grooms, Brother John Humphreys, what's happening? Brother Sean Cochran says, send you my account number. His account's from Nellie's Air Force Base. Yeah, do it, man, the old hospitals. So hospitals, to me, there's a show on the Travel Channel. Check it out. Again, I talk about a Travel Channel because, to me, they have the best ghost stuff. They have something called Haunted Hospitals or Hospital Haunted or something like that. So good stuff, man, good stuff. Since we're talking about hospitals, is there's an old hospital, not necessarily an insane asylum, because apparently the only insane asylum that Georgia has ever really had is in Milledgeville, but this one is located right off the Truman, you know where the homeless people camp is. So right down in there, it's right off. I'll post a map. I've got it saved in my picture somewhere because we actually pinpointed it from Google Maps and circled it and everything. But I was watching this thing on the Travel Channel, and they were talking about this old hospital that's out there in the woods, and it's gone. It's not gone, meaning everybody's gone. It's kind of like a ghost thing. But what happened was, these people were going out there to investigate. Her boyfriend was a tour guide or something. Anyways, to make a long story short, they went out there. They somehow got in, and when they were trying to leave, something was pulling them back in and things. It's a haunted hospital out there off of Truman, but it's kind of back out in the woods. I'll post that after this. I'm glad that we're talking about hospitals. So it was really, really, really creepy. To me, I don't know about y'all, but when I was in the hospital, I'd stay by myself because I told Moody's going home. You know, it wasn't fair for her to hang out last year around this time when I had the blood clots. Yeah, hospitals are creepy, man, because you got to remember, a lot of people die in those hospitals. And, you know, I think that's the last thing they see is those rooms and whatnot. And I will tell you that sitting in the hospital watching haunted hospitals is not the smartest thing in the world to do, especially when you hooked up to all these things in your arms and you can't get up to go to the bathroom. Anyways, that's another story. But so that's crazy, right? So I'm gonna do some more research on the haunted mansion and get some stories out of there. Wanted to bring to you guys again some Ella Belle stories. Tomorrow night we're going to talk about Guyton and Clio and all that stuff. Shannon and Jimmy, I'll be giving you guys a call and making sure I'm getting the stories right. I know last Saturday we had talked a lot about it. See if I can get the permission to send those pictures. I know you said you look crazy in those pictures, but there's a ghost in the picture with her. So yeah, if you'll allow me to share that, I'll be more than happy to share it. And then we can talk about it tomorrow. So let's talk about Tybee Island. I did not know there were so many ghost stories about Tybee Island. So a lot of the ghost stories that I'm reading about and I'm looking about and that a lot of people have been telling me, which I'm going to be doing some research, is a lot of times when they're on the beach, they see people walking into the water. I read one where there was this priest that was barefooted, but he had the collar around his neck and everything. And the guy swears that he was Irish. He said something back, and he looked back, and he was gone. He had disappeared in the water. Now, here's something interesting about Tybee, something I didn't know, and something that I want to find out when I was doing research on the ghost stories at Tybee. And y'all hit me up if y'all have heard this or know about this, because I don't. Now, you know, I've had family live down at Tybee. My great grandma, you know, a bunch of them. But I know about the old piers and everything. I remember the old water slide. Y'all remember the old water slide down at Tybee? Man, that was so much fun. Even though it was only like a three-way and it wasn't that much. I remember sliding down that thing. When you come up around that corner there, there was this huge wall up on the right side. So when you come down, you could reach up and grab it sometimes. We used to wave at everybody. So we're like, hey, watch, I'm going to wave. So when you come down, you know, you wave and you come on down. Splash down, and then the arcade was right there. Across from there, like in this parking lot, I think there was like an old amusement park. I don't know if many of y'all remember that, the old amusement park at Tybee or the water slide. Anyways, I'm just kind of reminiscing. Leading up to, apparently, there used to be a skating rink of some sort at Tybee Island, kind of over the water or something. Does anybody know about this? I don't know anything. Yeah, Lester Sir saying he remembers walking up those wooden steps to get up. Yes, you climbed all the way up for like a 10-second ride down. Yeah, but it was so much fun. And back then, you know, they didn't have stuff like that in Savannah. You couldn't sit home and play video games all day or whatever. There was nothing to do. You went to the beach, man. You stopped on B Road, got you some crystals, and headed on out, you know. But does anybody know what I'm talking about or what these people are talking about? There was an old skating rink at Tybee, and apparently it was over the water or something. I don't know if Skinny's watching. Ray, if you could holler at Skinny, see if he knows anything about that, because I know, you know, Skinny knows all about Tybee. If Desachula's watching, let me know what's up. So here was a story that I thought was pretty cool about Tybee. One of them is talking about, they had came back from a volleyball tournament or something. They were staying down at Tybee. They decided to walk down to the pier and check it out. She said her husband and their friend and their 17-year-old daughter was the only ones that went. She said that her husband and her friend walked to the end of the pier, and her daughter stood there watching. They said that a few people look for, like, ghost crabs and stuff. And we used to do that when we were kids. We'd go there at night, you know, those little white crabs that were running around crazy. So people were kind of looking for ghost crabs, and they were watching. That they noticed that there was two women in white with flowing dresses walking towards the water. And they were just watching them. And they said they walked into the ocean, and the water was like ice cold. And they couldn't believe that people were actually going into the ocean. She says they looked and looked and walked forward to keep up and see it from a different view. But her eyes were playing tricks on her, but she didn't see anything and didn't come out. She said her and her daughter both looked at each other at the same time and looked at each other in amazement and said that they couldn't find them. So they said that she went to her husband and her friend and told them, and of course they didn't believe them and asked what they had seen. She says they got to the elevator. They saw that the hotel that had burned down in the picture and a couple of ladies on the porch had white dresses on. So apparently the place that they were staying at, they had an old photograph, I guess, on the lobby or something of the old hotel that burned down, and the two of the ladies that were on there wearing the white dresses matched the same two ladies that was in the photograph. Pretty creepy. She says that, let's see. Yeah, that freaked her out is pretty much all she's saying. Now, here's something that's weird. So, apparently the lighthouse is haunted. And what they're saying about the lighthouse... Hey, what's happening there, Shannon? What's happening there, Alley Cat? So, apparently the lighthouse is very haunted. I never knew this. And apparently, up at the top of the lighthouse is a little girl. And she seems to be about 5 or 6 years old, everybody says. She has long hair, kind of long brown hair. I've never heard this. So, the stories that I was looking up about Tybee and the lighthouse all have to deal with this little girl that's usually at the top. One person said that their little 3- or 4-year-old daughter kept saying, this little girl kept trying to hold my hand. And they were like, what little girl? They had no idea what she was talking about. And I think they went to Sunnyside Up or somewhere down there to eat. And they were talking about, she just kept talking about this little girl. And somebody overheard them and said, oh, yeah, there's a ghost little girl up there and whatnot. So pretty freaky, man. One of the other stories is also talking about the same little girl, and apparently this person says that the little girl who passed away that tries to hold everybody's hands, her name is Abby. So if anybody from Tybee is watching and you know about the lighthouse and the little ghost girl named Abby, I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to do some research on it and see what's going on. And if anybody has little kids and you happen to go to Tybee, go to the top of the lighthouse and see if they tell you anything of some little girl trying to hold their hand or something. Pretty creepy, huh? David Goodelay says, have I talked about Renee from Bonaventure Cemetery yet? No, but I will. I will definitely talk about Renee at Bonaventure Cemetery. My buddy Shannon Scott tells that story very, very well, who does a lot of the ghost tours at Bonaventure Cemetery. Brian Krebs, what's happening, brother? Glad you're watching. So I got about 10 more minutes here, so I want to talk about something else pretty creepy down at Tybee, because I'm saving up the really good stuff for tomorrow. And I'm going to kind of tell you before I log off here too tonight how you can win a hat if you want, a free hat. You could win free patches, and we'll have some other giveaways and stuff like that probably. So, but tomorrow night we'll be giving all that stuff away. You know, ScareMaster memorabilia, or I don't know what you call it. So again, I got to give a shout out to Robert Adrano, 912 Embroidery City. Check it out. Scroll up, you'll see his phone number and everything. Big shots out to him. Big shots out to Lesher Sir Buddy Grayson, who's always giving me props and letting all our Shrine brothers and sisters know what's going on. Okay, so before I log off, there's something I really want to talk about tonight. I wanted to save it for tomorrow, but I'm talking about it tonight. So I don't know if any of y'all have heard this story, and this is what I like bringing you. I like bringing you stories that nobody has heard or that they've heard, but they don't know a whole lot about. That's the kind of stuff I want to know about. Again, everybody knows about the Pirate's House. They know about this and this and okay, whatever, you know, put me to sleep. And I'll always give you a little bit of history. There's nothing more boring to me than somebody trying to tell a ghost story or something. They want to tell you about when it was built, how long it was built, whose brother and sister's married brother, you know, when, you know, whatever. Okay, whatever. I've already lost interest. So, you know, a little bit and then there we go. So, I want to talk about, has anybody ever heard about the Highway 80 Tybee hauntings? So again, anybody, Brother Ray, if you're still watching, if anybody is watching, they want to send Brother Skinny a message. And I keep saying that because I know he grew up down at Tybee, so he probably knows about a lot of this stuff, and I probably need to pick his brain. But and if I'm getting it wrong, I'm sorry, but I'm going by what people have reported until I can investigate it myself. So the Highway 80 Tybee hauntings. This one lady says that her and her husband were on Highway 80 riding home from their honeymoon when they spotted a teenage girl. She looked to her right, and suddenly there was a young man beside her. She said that they came to her car, so they rolled down the windows, and the guy reached into the car and grabbed her by the neck. She said he drugged me out of her car and put me on the ground. She said, my husband got out and helped me back into the car. We locked the doors and rolled up the windows, and they all together disappeared. And they don't know why that happened, what had happened, but they disappeared. So here's another one. Okay, same thing about the Highway 80 Tybee hauntings. This person said that they also heard about the haunting on Highway 80. But according to her aunt on Tybee Island, the young couple who was killed on Highway 80 were a brother and sister. She said it seems that the two youngsters were trying to get away from a very abusive home. She said she had never seen them personally, but something about some sad lives and that... She's saying sad lives and ghosts always seem to go together. She's talking about, again, the lighthouse. you know, let me see what else. There's a couple other things about the Highway 80 stuff here I wanted to share. I can't read my notes. I'm sorry. Okay, here's one. So this young lady, Miss Carolyn, says that the same thing happened to her on Highway 80. She said that her and her husband, about 5 years ago, so that'd be what, 2015, 2014, something like that. She said when they first got engaged, the sun was setting as they was driving back home from Tybee. She said she was going east on Highway 80. There was still a little light in the sky and a little ground mist rising from the ground on both sides of the road. The road itself was very dark, and there are no street lights at all on that road. She says she confesses that they had smoked a little weed. So, I don't know. She says she smoked a little bit of weed sometime before that. But in the distance, she saw someone walk in the center line. She said it caught the headlights and the beam. She said her fiancé was driving and told him immediately that someone was in the road. Only a crazy person would move slowly if forced to cross Highway 80. She said her fiancé slowed down to about 30 miles an hour. She said that she first saw the guy walking in the road. He was young and dressed in a slacker type Generation X outfit, whatever that means. She said that her and her fiancé both clearly saw him. He was skinny, tall, but not too tall, with a long blonde ponytail. He wore a gold t-shirt and red athletic shorts, and they were all very baggy. She said she then saw the girl. She looked to the right of her window, and she had short black hair and was thin. She wore a khaki dress with a wrap waist and a palm leaf motif. She said, oh my God, her face, her eyes were huge and gray and wide and staring, almost popping out of her skull. Her mouth was slack, whatever that means. My first thought was, oh my God, she's in shock. There's been an accident or she's been molested. She said she looked that real. She said she looked around and no car, there was no wreck. And then it dawned on both of them that there was no way those people could have looked in their window for as long as they did. She said they were going about 30 miles an hour and it was dark. Nobody could see them. There's no other cars coming. They realized that they had just seen some ghosts. She says, personally, she thinks maybe they wrecked while driving or had a DUI or either was trying to warn them or cause them to wreck. Maybe it was because of something that was calling to them. She said, if, you know, it was just really, really, really creepy. So that's some creepy stuff. I've never heard that about Highway 80 and ghosts on there. So anyways, so real quick here, I'm going to call it a night. I want to thank everybody for joining us. We got some investigations coming. We also have some live interviews where we'll be doing Zoom with some special guests. A couple of them I will announce now. So if you're still watching, hey, you're going to get to hear it here first. So I got some friends, you know, that some of them kind of famous, some of them aren't or whatnot. But, you know, if you're in the horror field or the haunts stuff, then you kind of, you know, you bond with these people. Again, we're all a haunt family. So coming up next week, we're going to be doing a live Zoom feed with Jimmy Dempster. Jimmy's been in a lot of horror movies. He's been in a lot of like ID channel things. He's been in all kind of stuff. Great guy. Now you're like, okay, who is that? Well, I'll post it on the page so you can read up on him and check out some of his stuff. Now you're like, okay, I thought, you know, you had somebody, you know, really bigger than that, somebody we would know. Okay, so yeah, so Butch Patrick is going to be doing our show too. You remember Butch Patrick from the Addams Family? So was talking to him. I'm sorry, not the Addams Family. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, Butch. The Munsters. I did that on purpose. So I did that to mess with Butch. But so the Munsters. Butch is going to be doing the show with us. He's going to be having a lot of fun. You can ask some questions if you want. Great guy. He's got his own podcast as well. We'll talk about the Munsters. We'll talk about what he's doing now. You know, just some fun stuff. So Butch is a lot of fun. I think you'll enjoy Butch. For a lot of Shrine Brothers that are on here, his dad is a past potentate out in California somewhere. So his dad was a brother Shriner. It's pretty cool, you know. So we're going to be doing some of that stuff. We're still working on the Scottish Rite files. Mainly some of the sound didn't work. So we're going to have to do some editing on the sound and possibly record some more sound. It didn't pick up for some reason. Now, I will tell you something weird that happened at the Scottish Rite. Not only did the sound kind of quit working, but the batteries on some of the cameras just go dead. Supernatural, I don't know. I will tell you that they were fully charged when we got there. One went from fully charged to like half a charge within a couple minutes. And these are brand new cameras. So we have tested them since then. They work fine. So between the camera batteries and the sound stuff, it's pretty creepy. Along with me taking a picture of the guy that I finally found a photo of at the Scottish Rite, of the guy that I used to see looking down. It's weird, isn't it? But that his face was all kind of blotted out for some reason, but it's not blotted out in the picture when you look at the picture. But when I kept taking, I took pictures, from several angles, it just came up, you know, weird. So tomorrow, 8 o'clock, we're going to be going live. Next week, we're going to be having some fun. We're going to be doing the, Zoom meetings, and I'll give everybody a heads up on times and whatnot, so you can log in and talk to these guys. They're great guys. I've got some other announcements with other interviews that we're going to be doing, because, you know, talking to me is only fun for so long before you guys are going to start losing interest, which I hope you don't. Give me a thumbs up if you're not. That way we can keep this interesting and keep it going. We're going to start visiting these places. I know you keep hearing me say this, but until all these orders are lifted, it's hard to go to places and do things, and people aren't as open like they used to be before the pandemic. Hope everybody's staying safe. You know, wash your hands. Let's save Halloween. I say it a lot. I've got some, other than some embroidery stuff coming out with patches and things. If you want to, you know, sponsor, that's cool. You can sponsor. I know I did a little GoFundMe thing. A lot of people don't like it. There was a lot of people that did it, said, I don't like GoFundMe. I would do a PayPal. That's fine. We were able to buy that equipment. We are trying to get one or two EVP recordings. Still trying to get the green screen. That's the main stuff right now. So I think that's about all we're really lacking. And a ghost box so that we can also record the sounds. You've seen it. You've seen them holding them, and they make that kind of loud racket. And then in between the radio sounds, somebody will speak. It's supposed to be a supernatural voice that you can hear live. So that's some of the stuff we're trying to get. Or if you'd rather purchase something like that, hit me up. I can shoot it to you. I will definitely make sure you get shots out. You are a sponsor if you own a company. Some people said, hey, man, can you do a shout out for me? You know, I'll send you $5 worth. Man, I do a shout out for free, man. You know what I mean? But yeah, if you want to do this, right now, our main sponsor is Embroidery City. So yeah, man, I'm gonna mention them every chance I get, because they came to us and they love the stories and what we're doing. So that's what we're going to do. Brother Clint, there's Brother Scribbles is on. You catching me last minute, brother. I know you probably just got off work, but check it out tomorrow. I'm going to get Scribbles on here with me one night, and we're going to have some fun. We're going to probably have a few drinks and talk some ghost stuff. And talk about the haunts and some of the haunts he's been at, some of the haunts he's worked. You know, him and his family, Brother Scribbles, Brother Clint, helped perfect a lot of these clowns that are running around doing things and acting and all these things here. So they owe him some props. So shout out to him. He can work a crowd like I've never seen. Now, we are working on something pretty cool this year at the haunt. And if it works the way we want it to, yeah, y'all going to freak out when y'all see this, man. Y'all going to be like, that was cool. People will be talking about this for a long time, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, again, happy Friday to everybody. Stay safe. smile at one another. Don't text and drive. Wash those hands. Let's save Halloween. And tomorrow night at 8 p.m., hope to scare you there.